Welcome. Welcome to the Louis Belina Show. It is Monday. It is Memorial Day. Welcome to the Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Currently, the NCAA baseball selection show has begun. They're doing it the long way. First thing they're doing is announcing the top eight national seeds. Not the regionals they're going to be hosting, just the top eight national seeds. The number one overall seed for the 2023 NCAA tournament is Wake Forest. Number two, the Florida Gators. Number three, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Number four, the Clemson Tigers. Number five, LSU. And this is where they're starting to slow things down. But number six, seven, and eight. Eight was Stanford. We're waiting for the rest of it to update itself. We're doing it all in real time. I could tell you right now that the SEC has been rewarded well. Number six is Vanderbilt, who, as you know, defeated Texas A&M for the SEC title yesterday. Number seven is Virginia. Number eight is Stanford. The SEC has one, two, three, four of the top eight as projected. And you have to do as projected because if you have one less than the four of the top eight, then it trickles into the next eight and down. Some committees go, no conference should have four of the top eight. The SEC should host eight of the top 16. If we're being honest and fair with each other, all the numbers indicate it's obvious, but committees have troubles with that. We know eight of the top 16 will be the SEC. This committee is pro-SEC. They've just announced the number one overall Winston-Salem regional. So it has begun. The second the Aggies are slotted, we will share. Hi, everybody. The Louis Belina Show just beginning on a Monday. Let me share a couple of things that are on tap with you. A, Mitch Light of The Athletic is going to join me at 105. He is a college baseball fan. He is a college baseball junkie. He's maybe the most intelligent person I've ever run to in sports media. He texted me before the A&M Vanderbilt game yesterday. Mitch is a Vanderbilt baseball fan. Mitch, besides being a brainiac media guy, besides being an editor for The Athletic, is a true sports fan. He was at the SEC title, drove down for the day because Vandy was in it. We talked a little bit before the game. He's going to join us at 105. We'll talk about the SEC, baseball, and the NCAA tournament, and more. Always and more. They're going regional by regional. We just saw the number one, Winston-Salem, Alabama, is paired with them as the number 16 national seed. Oh, they are showing the shot. Okay, they have cameras like in every team's room. So when Alabama was announced as the 16 seed, paired with number one Wake, they showed the shot of the Alabama room, and it was the worst reaction shot ever because none of them moved a lick. And when three guys finally moved, it was the, like shock, and you've got to be bleeping me was the response. That ESPN was not trying to mine a camera for that response. Alabama, for those that know professional wrestling terminology, Alabama no-sold being a 16 seed and paired with Wake. They totally no-sold that. And the cameras caught it. Nice. Sorry, a lot of live action today on the Louis Belina Show. So Mitch Light of The Athletic at 105. And at 135, Coach Schloss is meeting with the media 12 to 12:30-ish. He's going to do the Q&A, react to wherever A&M's going, whatever seed they got, the matchups, and more. We'll listen into what he has to say. It hasn't happened yet. 11 to 12 is the selection show. Coach will be meeting with the media afterwards. We'll listen in at 1:35 what he has to say. Now, we're also going to talk Astros. We're going to talk Rangers. We're going to go to the college football notebook and more. Miami, the number nine seed, Coral Gables Regional, being announced. By the way, You know you can text me at any time. You can light up the Texas Mobile and Loop Express inbox, right? Right now, before we know, you tell me, call your shot, where is A&M going? What regional? Are we all accepting Stillwater as a fact? Done? Stick a fork in it? Or do you have another regional for Texas A&M? Coral Gables Regional, Miami, the number 9 overall seed. They got Louisiana. They're flying them Cajuns that are raging. That fascinates me. Anytime a team is the Longhorns got shipped to Miami with Louisiana. Wow. They're sending Texas, the Longhorns, cross country. Texas going 2-toast in the Big 12 tournament, absolutely sunk. Oh, hosting, and obviously more. I think Texas is the 3 seed, but don't quote me on that. Because Louisiana, well, it don't matter. But the Longhorns sent to Coral Gables. Today, also on the Louis Bellina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. We're going to talk a lot of Aggie baseball, not just the regional, but that SEC tournament run was one of the most exciting. When was the last time that you were just alone watching a game and fist pumping in your living room? I did. I don't do that often. I did for this Aggie baseball team, this tournament run. They eliminated LSU. Thank you. They sent Arkansas home. Yes, please. Stanford, the number 8 regional seed. San Jose State, Cal State Fullerton. So who's the wild card? Because that's 3 Cali teams. There's got to be a wild card. Cal State Fullerton, the 2-3 game. Who's the other team? The Aggies are going to Stanford. It's right there. You don't have to guess anymore. That is interesting. I heard A&M and Palo Alto so much this morning. Somebody had to know something because it was way too often mentioned either right before or after Stillwater. The Aggies are going California way. They're going to Palo and Alto. Stanford. That's your regional. The Stanford regional is Stanford, the host school, San Jose State, and the Aggies were taking on Cal State Fullerton. They shipped the Aggies West Coast. Texas A&M is in, and they're with the number 8 overall national seed. There you go. Wow, that didn't take long. Right now, they're announcing the Baton Rouge Regional, where LSU is the number 5 national seed. Tulane will be their matchup in the first round. Ah, Tulane. Think about those poor Louisiana little schools that always have to go through LSU. Louisiana being the biggest little school in them all. And LSU's always hosting, always sucking in from that area. Sam Houston State, the Bearcats, headed that way. So, Sam, Baton Rouge is a tough place to play. It's very swampy this time of the year. It's hotter than you expect. Oregon State? That's the geographical trade. Oregon State could not go to the Stanford. A&M could not go to the LSU. Think for a second. A&M can't go to LSU, same conference. Oregon State can't go to Stanford, same conferences. They swapped them. If they were doing a regional by straightforward, sensical, just, you know, geography, right? A&M would go to LSU and Oregon State would go to Stanford. Those two swap places if you were doing geographical regionals. Lexington, Kentucky, the 12 seed. What's their regional going to look like? So far, there's been pleasant little surprises along the way, hasn't there? They got Ball State. The reaction shots. I'm sorry. They cut to the Ball State locker room, you know, the baseball team. They all went on their feet. There's fist. I mean, you know, they made the tournament as a 4 seed. So they were on the bubble, obviously, right? Ball State just doing cartwheels, happy to be in. Where Alabama no-sold everything. My favorite reaction maybe of all time. Indiana heading to Lexington, Kentucky. Who else do we got here? Come on now. They do this dramatic pause thing so far every time. West Virginia will go to Lexington, Kentucky. They've done this dramatic, and I guess it's to let the announcers talk about the other teams and catch up for you. But yeah, West Virginia is the seed there. So, okay, stop texting me about where you think A&M's going. If you just tuned in, if you were in a coma and just woke up, A&M is going to the Stanford Regional. Stanford's the one seed. A&M's the two. Cal State Fullerton's the three. That means A&M, Cal State Fullerton, opening round. And San Jose State's the four. Auburn Regional is being announced, the number 13 overall. Reaction room. They're barely clapping. Auburn doesn't care. Oh, they need to stop doing the cameras. Okay, Auburn Penn, first round matchup. That's not going to really scare you too much. And then the rest of the other half of that Auburn regional bracket. Samford. Good for Samford. I think half the SEC plays Samford during the course of the year, to be honest with you. They have the standard applause. You could tell they were coached well. You can't sit in the front row unless you're clapping. And the final team, Southern Miss. That is a... Okay, half the SEC plays Samford. Three-quarters of the SEC plays Southern Miss. So that is a very familiar to each other kind of regional. If Samford doesn't play Southern Miss, I think I'd be stunned if Samford and Southern Miss didn't play. All right, we got to step aside. I know. A lot of fast action to move to start our day. They're announcing the entire NCAA baseball field. Aggies are going to Stanford. They're going to hook up with Cal State Fullerton. And do not forget, ever, you hear Aggie baseball every game. Every game. Regular season, SEC tournament, postseason. Right here on the Zone, 1150 AM, 93.7 FM. Online at RadioAgland.com. And if you have a smart speaker, you can tell Alexa to play Zone 1150. They're announcing the Clemson regional right now. They're the number four overall national. Lipscomb will be their opening round matchup. Lipscomb, is that the Tennessee school? The one that's in Nashville? Charlotte upset, won their conference tournament and messed up the bubble. On bubble Sunday, three upsets. Exploded the bubble. And who's the final team of the Clemson Regional? Tennessee! Getting shipped to Clemson. I would not want to be Tennessee right now. No favors there, my friends. All right, we'll be back in 3.5 minutes. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside. It's Memorial Day. I hope you're remembering. I hope you're saying thank you. I hope you're safe. And I hope you're going to enjoy the Louis Belina Show with me.
Tonight, a little bit weaker than you used to be. Broadway is dark tonight.
It is the Louis Belina Show, Monday edition. I've got a very rare opportunity. It is the Louis Belina Show presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. And it might be too late for some people. If you were with me last week, I gave away a family 4-pack of tickets to the Astros Twins today, 3:10. It was a family 4-pack of tickets to the Astros Twins today, family 4-pack. The person that was going changed their mind, so I still have the tickets. But, you know, it would require you to be able to go on a moment's notice. You kind of have to head to Houston within the next hour to be there in time. And so I'm going to throw it out into the universe. If you're interested, if you want to make a right now kind of trip down to Houston, Astros Twins Memorial Day special, text me your name and email address. Do it quickly, because I got to draw exactly at 12. The way this works, I would email you digitally the tickets through the MLB Ballpark app. If you do not have the MLB Ballpark app, I would not bother because time is too short. I got to say, all prize eligibility rules apply. They apply at all times. But if, I got a family four-pack of tickets. Astros, Twins, Memorial Day, 3:10 today. I know it's last second, but the person that canceled last second too. So it's an opportunity if there's anyone that can make the run. The last of the field is being announced right now. You've got South Carolina, and there's so much debate and controversy, and South Carolina was going to be the litmus test to see if the NCAA tournament was going to do, if they were going to be the eighth host side or not, would be the tournament, the committee's version of whether they treated the SEC right or not. Columbia, the 15 seed, South Carolina gets Central Connecticut State, NC State, and Campbell. Oh my gosh, they just saw Central Connecticut State, the reaction shot. And I got to admit, there, some dude was wearing this night face thing. That was pretty epic. Got to understand, right? The reaction shots are supposed to be the money shots. That's where everybody's going nuts and hasn't quite worked out like that. Vigorous applause so far is about as enthusiastic as we've gotten. Florida, the number two overall seed, Gainesville, got Florida A&M, Texas Tech, and UConn. I think the 1-16 is all we have left. Yes, that would be, no. The number 10, Coastal Carolina. Is this a random announcement thing? Doesn't matter, does it? It's NCAA tournament, y'all. Number 10, Coastal Carolina. Who are they hosting? Ryder, number 10, Coastal Carolina. And this isn't the first year that they were decent. Text message from Anonymous. Would A&M host Super Regional since Stanford is a top eight? No, or maybe. Do you mean if A&M upset Stanford? I don't remember the exact process. I don't know if you already had to pre-bid. I don't know if the two schools get to bid. In the next round, if you never bid at all, you're not allowed to host. There's a lot, I believe, that goes into your question other than, oh, we beat Stanford, therefore we get to host. If I remember, I think you had to bid all the way through. If you did not, you don't get to host. It's not just who's the highest seed of who's left. There's a couple of questions in there. A&M's a two seed, but are they going to be the higher number two seed? Just because you beat the higher seed doesn't mean that you actually are the higher seed. You don't assume their spot in the tournament. I know that much. The Charlottesville Regional, number 7, Virginia. Army, West Point will be their 4 seed. Who else do we have here? I love this stuff. I'll say one thing, though. There's no need to make a tournament field of 64 last like 30 to 35 minutes. To me, that's a bit excessive. What do you think? Don't forget, text me. Oklahoma got shipped to the number 7 Virginia. It was a down year for the Big 12 in baseball this year. Without a doubt, definitely it was a down year for the Big 12. You know, in the end, up year, down year, you know how it gets defined? How many teams you put into the College World Series. When Mitch Light joins me, he's one of the people that echoed that. You define the strength of a conference not by how many teams host, how many teams even make the field. In college baseball, strength is always defined by Omaha. In basketball, you don't just define strength by the Final Four, which would be the equivalent of Omaha, right? Mm-mm. College basketball strength is not defined the same way. But in baseball, it's Omaha, period. And the SEC's putting like 10 in. 4 of the top 8 national seeds, 8 of the top 16 host sites. It's in position. Don't you think when you're 4 of 8, 8 of 16, that at least 4 of 8 have to be in Omaha from the SEC? I kind of say to validate, justify, just to help people understand, if that sounds a better way of putting it, live up to the hype of the league. That 4 of 8 at Omaha need to be SEC. Vanderbilt, the number 6 seed, national, in Nashville, Eastern Illinois. How good do you have to be in the SEC when the top 8 teams in the league are all hosting. They're eight of the top 16. Xavier going to Vandyland, Nashville, home of SEC Media Days this year, which the Louis Belina Show is planning on broadcasting live all week long from SEC Media Days. Who's the fourth seed? Come on. Share it. Oregon will be at Vandy, Nashville Land. And for those just waking up, just tuning in, just got your radios, Texas A&M got shipped to the Stanford Regional, where Stanford's the one, A&M's the two, Cal State Fullerton's the three, San Jose State is the two. A&M is going to the Stanford Regional. And like I said, looking at it in a very basic and practical way, geographically speaking, A&M should have been in Baton Rouge from the way the tournament NCAA committee did it. And the two seed in Baton Rouge was like Oregon State, who should have went to Stanford. So they flopped A&M and Oregon State. Stillwater Regional, the number 11, Oklahoma State. The Cowboys. Have you ever been to Stillwater before? It's so A&M it hurts, but A&M like 15 years ago. But still, there was way too many similarities. Auburn, A&M, and Oklahoma State have too much in common. Not saying they're identical. Stop. Oral Roberts is the four in the Stillwater Regional. Washington is going to Stillwater. Man, Washington and Stillwater, they'll get off the plane and bus there and be confused by what Stillwater is. And their number four national seed, Dallas Baptist University. DBU, Dallas Baptist, was projected to host basically the entire year. I think they lost their conference tournament title in the end, but they were going to be an at-large selection, so it didn't matter. And maybe that cost them their host site. Maybe. So Dallas Baptist got shipped to Stillwater. Every team is as projected in the Stillwater Regional, except for Texas A&M. Now, let's do this with me. A&M was projected to be the two seed in Stillwater basically all year. Well, since they none of the projections for the tournament field started till later on in the year. So understand when I say all year, all projection year long. And guess what? Washington can't go to Stanford. So Stanford got shipped to Stillwater and A&M got shipped to the left coast because A&M couldn't go to Stillwater. They sent Washington there because Washington couldn't go to that Stanford regional and A&M couldn't go to LSU. I'm doing the math of how A&M ended up in Palo Alto. The Terre Haute Regional, number 14, Indiana State, hosting. Do you know how exciting it has to be when an Indiana State hosts? That kind of once in a lifetime, once in a decade. Wright State is their four. North Carolina is their two. Ooh, and Iowa is their three. The ooh is you get a North Carolina. That's postseason legacy iconic program. They can win by wake up and getting out of bed. And then you got rookie territory like Indiana State. Interesting regional, like circled in my upset category. But back to A&M, the math of how the committee shipped A&M to Palo Alto. They couldn't send them to LSU, obvious reason. And Washington couldn't go to Palo Alto. So Washington went to Stillwater where A&M could have went, but now it was blocked by Washington. And a second that you think a team can go in the air, you just plug them where you need them. And that was Palo Alto. Because most of the left coast regionals were packed, except for too many Pac-12 teams. I told you A&M is the furthest left SEC team. And the SEC teams take up the ACC regionals, which left A&M going to the left coast. Fayetteville, Arkansas Regional, the number three national seed. Santa Clara is their four seed. One thing about anything kind of Cali-way, year Santa, it's pretty cool. Or Santa Clara, New Mexico. Santa Clara's a California team. Arizona's their two seed. That's going to be a soft regional. Their number three national seed, it should be a soft regional. Protect the top eight. Get the next 16 right. Figure out the race later. Oh, TCU got shipped to Fayetteville. Interesting regional. Again, soft, But you have, I think Arizona's a legacy baseball program, and TCU, thanks to Coach Slosh, is a past decade or longer now type Omaha type team. So teams with history, but not this year necessarily in the Arkansas Fayetteville Regional. Okay. We got to step aside. When we come back, I want to talk about A&M SEC tournament. When we come back, we're going to have a listen in. Coach Slosh, Jack Moss, and more. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab Studio, Memorial Day. Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Two remarkable businesses. One, just great family. That's B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Lunchtime, that is noon till 1. At least on the Louis Belina Show, that is definitely how we define it. Lunchtime, well, that's thanks to Rudy's Barbecue, but lunchtime, we will get into our key two. Key to what? We'll talk about it lunchtime. Relax. Key 2 is always brought to you by Griffin Locksmith, where they offer 24-hour emergency service. You can look up Griffin Locksmith online, griffinlocksmith.com, or call them at 822-2705. I'm pretty sure those guys had a big smile on their face with the Aggie baseball run and the NCAA tournament, 2-seed, going to Palo Alto, the Stanford Regional. They're huge Aggie sports fans. When I got to hook up with them, meet them at the store, visit with them, we talk some Aggie sports. You could tell it's a part of their blood. Let's see, what's in their blood? KeySafe locks, which sounds gross to have in your blood, but generations there. And, of course, Aggie athletics. They listen to The Zone. They listen to Tex Aggs, Louis Belina Show. I don't think they turn it off. They love their Aggie sports, too. At Griffin Locksmith. That's lunchtime. How about the now? Aggie baseball SEC tournament. They finished runner-up to Vanderbilt. 6 games. Went 4-2. The tournament was a revelation. A&M did not have a single quality start from a starting pitcher, because it has to be a quality start, in 30 SEC games. And they had 3 in the SEC tournament. They had 2 one-hitters. There's been 7 one-hitters in the history of the SEC tournament. A&M has 2 of them this past week. A&M had a dream run. Most dreams end with the title. I would have loved to have seen them beat Vandy. You know, that game through middle of 8 was an awesome, epic, tight. I can't breathe. I kept squirming on the couch. Kind of championship game. A&M bullpen ran out of steam. Coach Slosh, you know, if they're playing in Omaha, we'd see a different bullpen alignment at that point, but that's the nature of 6 games in 6 days. I'm okay with it. Because for me, how many people remember last year, and probably for the past 10 years, I told you how much I hate conference tournaments. I think they burn out teams. I think they, you know, I have never really seen a team in the SEC play its way into the field out of the SEC tournament, because it just doesn't work like that. If it happens, it's 1 in 72 times, but other teams have to burn themselves out, destroy their pitching, risk injury. You see the teams that don't care to be there, don't want to be there, and they make sure they don't stay there long, because there's teams that, you know, Alabama's facing LSU, and their All-American player of the year guy was sitting out. He was tired. He didn't even play. Okay. We'll beat who plays him. Send LSU home. I applaud any day of the week. I don't care if they would have fielded their JV team, and they don't even have one. But back to my point before I rambled. I said I don't like NCAA, you know, SEC tournaments. I don't like all those games. I don't like what the exertion that goes into it right before the NCAAs. The one thing, and the one thing that proves me wrong, because the one thing that can happen and does happen, Ole Miss last year, A&M TBD, to be determined. You know the one thing the SEC tournament has done for teams? It gets you right. Coaches talk about kids are out of school. They're full-time baseball. The records are 0-0. This is the last chance to realize who you are. It's not Coach Schloss. That's every coach. I hear that in softball, too. It goes with the diamond sports. It's that time of the year. And you see teams discover each other themselves. They discover themselves in the tournament format and make runs. And it happens some conference. In the SEC, they usually put 4 of 8 in Omaha. Two of them are not the top 4 seeds usually. Two of them are the teams that number 14 national seed, an unranked team, if there's going to be one in Omaha, will be an SEC team. So when there's 4 of 8 in Omaha, it's not just the 2, the 3, the 5, and the 7. That's how you got to be. So the one thing that SEC tournaments have value in, and I guess to be any conference tournament, it's not to make the field and other things I think I've heard, but a team can find, discover, and make a run out of it, run in the NCAA tournament. Because if you're an Aggie baseball fan, and right now you can't see this because it's radio, my hand is raised. I loved Aggie baseball as my first sport as a student at Texas A&M. I went to Aggie football. I had a great time. I love Bonfire. I loved Cut. I love Midnight Yell. I mean, but love? It was Aggie baseball. Diamond sports have always spoke to my heart and my soul and my mind. Okay, I love diamond sports to death. And so as an Aggie baseball fan, you look at, and the fact when they did it 1 game, 2 games, 3 games, 5 games, 6 games, it's reality. It wasn't a small sample size. It wasn't just 1 week. It wasn't just one moment. That they discovered themselves. Things that Coach Schloss said every Monday, 11:35, on the Smoothie King Hotline here on the Louie Belina Show, which, by the way, he couldn't be with us today because the NCAA selection show is 11 to 12. He's going to have a big media get-together, and he's going to meet with the media sometime, I think, between like 12 and 12:15. We hope to listen to it here on the Louie Belina Show at 1:35. If all goes well, we'll hear what he said after the NCAA selection show. Aggie baseball going to Stanford, where they're the 2 seed, and they'll square off against Cal State Fullerton in their first round opening day matchup of the Stanford Regional. Back to Aggie baseball. You hope that's the real team. You hope that Troy Wansing had a breakthrough, and this is the Troy Wansing for the rest of his maroon and white career, because this was the promise of him. And no, I don't think 7-1. I didn't think he was meant to throw one hitters every day, every game of his career, but he can make 9 out of 10 quality starts, 6-3 or better. You know, do the math on 6-3. It gives you an ERA of 4.50 with a quality start in every start if it's 6-3. That's not exactly right home statistically. That's not All-American to be a consistent quality starter. Think about it. But Troy Wansing, he was my MVP of the week. His start, those 2 relief appearances. How did he go from a guy that got completely booted off at weekends, didn't get it done in the midweek, got put back on weekends out of pure desperation, didn't get it done, but the coaches just kept telling him, "You're that good, dude." And you know, what did you see out of Wansing in a 1-hit start and 2 put in at the most dire situation relief appearances? What did you see? A win and a save. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw confidence. I know. That's always a personal a read and data. There's not a factor in fact in that. That's my perception. I saw confidence. I saw a guy who was no longer scared to get hit because he didn't care or think he'd be hit. It's just weird, that switch. If that's the new Troy Wansing, that could be that one thing that put Aggie baseball over the hump. You had a lot of other good starts. All pitchers that were trending up. Is it Lampkin who was trending up one start at a time? And this week was just another one start at a time. So barring him getting any kind of, this is the most innings he's thrown at this level and stress level, so maybe he hits a wall. Barring that element, and he's just ticking up that one weekend at a time, a confident Wansing and a Lampkin can throw the first two games? Yes, please. Sign me up. I'll go for it right now. A lot of relievers that were less than successful in Hoover don't necessarily ever have to pitch in the postseason. You tend to shorten things up in the postseason anyway. There's a lot going on from 1 week, which was six games, not three games on the weekend, that you could take away, walk away, that it's simple. If it's true, I don't know why this team wouldn't go to Omaha. Now, there is something to be concerned about, and it's the offense. They scored enough runs to win four out of six games in the SEC conference. They scored enough runs to eliminate Arkansas and eliminate LSU. But for me, if you really, you go inside the numbers, all they had was one run innings every game. You know, they had a 4-run seventh against LSU, 3-run sixth against Arkansas. They, A&M, you know, it was different against Vanderbilt. They scored 4, which is a 2-1-1. But one-run innings. A&M couldn't produce runs. Well, you know, 1-1-1, 0-0, 4-1-1. You know, the explosive offense. But just getting runs, that's how you just wear a team down. That's how you get them to throw too many pitchers out there. It's just hits, walks, one at a time. A&M has too many big innings. Just scoring in an inning. How many people watch the SEC tournament? I think Ben McDonald, even though every time I hear his name, just as long as I don't hear his name, I'm okay. As soon as I hear his name, my right eye starts to spasm and my head starts to hurt. It's painful. But he's brilliant on the analysis and the stories that he shares. And was it Friday A&M LSU? Look, the whole thing blurred. That was six games in 6 days, okay? But he shared the story, a Skip Bertman word of wisdom, about the winning team usually has an inning that they score more runs in total than their opponent scores in total. It's just a weird, almost fascinating truth. The winning team tends to score in any one inning in their win more runs in that inning than the opponent scores in total. Something I'll keep my eye on, and happened yesterday, and A&M scored 4 runs and Vanderbilt had a 5-run 8th. So it's whichever team doesn't allow the big inning. It's whatever team keeps the other team under control kind of thing. Let's take a break. We'll come back. If you want to share your thoughts, Aggie Baseball, the Big Mo from Omaha. Aggie Baseball, they're in the Stanford Regional. They square off against Cal State Fullerton. If you want to share your thoughts on anything, text me at 979-693-1150. You can light up the Texas Mobile and Lube Express inbox now. Text away. This is the Louis Belina Show. I'm live. I'm inside the Charles Schwab studio. Low cost, full service, and best of all, local. Local. Yeah, Mark Sim. He's right here. Dead serious in College Station. Because I know it's Schwab. People go to New York, LA. Some go, fancy Chicago. No. Mark Sim's right here in College Station. If you want to get answers to your questions, if you'd like to learn more about Charles Schwab, if you'd like to learn more about Mark Sim, go to schwab.com/collegestation. Look, we're almost done with our first hour. And did you hear Mr. Big Voice? Not Mr. Big Voice. It was Chip Howard there talking about he's looking for an assistant producer. Here at The Zone, 1150 AM and 93.7 FM, we are hiring. We're hiring. It's kind of weird. I've never seen this before. For three producers. Chip needs an assistant producer. That means you need to be available 3:45 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Some combination of Monday through Friday. Chip Howard's looking for an assistant producer Monday through Friday, 3:45 to 6 p.m. Texags Radio is looking for a producer. And that would be Monday through Friday, 7:45 to 11. So Texags Radio is looking for a producer. We got Sean, who runs the board. He's the studio engineer producer. We need someone out at the blackjack table running phones, getting guests on, and assisting with the show in general, podcasting the show when it's over. So Texags Radio needs a producer. Yes, they do. I, Louis Bellina, currently need a producer. Abby, who's been my primary producer for 2 years, is gone until the last week in August. And even when she comes back, she looks like she'll be graduating in December. And she's like going to work Tuesday, Thursday. So I need a producer. Someone to start the journey. Being a producer, generally like to find someone younger. Give them the time. First year, you just learn everything. Second year, you become great at things. And you get the real opportunities. You learn a lot of skills that will translate in your first year. You'll learn about social media. You're going to learn about digital editing and skills that go on a resume. Just having radio on your resume is pretty impressive. And then in year two, maybe I'll put you on a reporting beat. Maybe you'll be my prize person on air. There's a lot of things that can happen in the second year. And then, you know, just depends if there is a third year. There's more and more and more. I know, wow, that's long term. Yeah, just looking for someone who wants to be involved. Someone that wants to learn something. Something that can lead to greater somethings. So, all three of our shows, Chip Howard, Texags Radio, Louis Bellina, we're looking for producers? I don't know if I've ever seen all three at the same time. And if you're interested, something in there, maybe you're just interested enough you'd like to know more information. If you go to our website, zone1150.com, zone1150.com. There's a contact us button. Click it. Click apply now. That's it. And what we have is like an online application, but it's very simple. You can probably fill it out in 10 minutes or less, but it gives us the basic information to get enough of a feel and where you fit into what we're looking for. Gives you a section to tell us what we need to know about you. So if you're interested, producer Texags Radio, producer Louis Bellina Show, producer Chip Howard Sports Talk, go to zone1150.com, contact us, apply now. It's simple and it's easy. If you're interested, give it a shot. Now I got to go. We're done with hour number one. Lunchtime ahead. Lunchtime, thanks to Rudy's Barbecue. Lunchtime. Oh, college football notebook. Yes, yes, please. And we got to get to our key too. Thanks to Griffin Locksmith, where they offer 24-hour emergency service.
Y'all listen up. Let me tell you something about group meals from Rudy's Barbecue. It's got all you need for all the folks you gotta feed, smoked meat, sides, and more. There's everything down to the tablecloth, just like the one that you see at the store. At a bridal shower, it's better than flowers. In a long business meeting, it'll pass the hours. It'll feed all the cousins at a family function. It's better than potluck at a church luncheon. Next time you need to feed 10 or more, call and order a Rudy's group meal.
Next in line.
Want to listen online? Not sure of the prize rules? Would you like to learn more about your favorite host? Go now to zone1150.com.
Zone1150.com.
This is KZNE College Station Bryan.
Aggieland's home.